This is RSBNB Update, episode 167, recorded Thursday, August 28th, 2008. Drum away your troubles. Hello, everybody. I'm here with that band of rebels. Well, they're not rebels. I know Mike and Warren aren't rebels because they're lovely Canadians. Mike is from the same city as me, and Warren is from the eastern land of Ottawa, Ontario, the nation's capital, which sometimes has done questionable things in the past. But we're not here to discuss
past
actions.
That oil program is really good, I think.
No. Anyways, just Google for Pierre Trudeau and the Liberals, and you'll figure that all out. But anyways, that was something of the 1970s that we didn't like here. Anyways, yes, so Brad's away this week with his dad on a vacation with the rest of his family. That's nice, you know? Like, all his aunts and cousins and grandparents all go together. Is that like a common occurrence?
Well, I never had that, but my family's pretty spread out.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that.
Yeah, I know, and I don't think I'd be able to do anything like that, because normally we're not all cozy and close up, and everybody's all doing different things at the same time, but Brad will be back next week. I can guarantee that. Anyways, all fired up. I got ripped off on this quest. You did too, Mike. Remember when we did this quest?
Why is that?
Because our reward scroll said one quest point, 20k GP, 5500 firemaking XP, access to the all fired up minigame. Mm-hmm. But the actual reward on the quest page is 5000 agility, 5500 firemaking, and 1500 construction XP. And we didn't get that.
So we didn't get that?
No.
It doesn't show it on our high scores progress?
I checked that, and it's not there.
How can they change the reward like that?
I know. That's what I noticed when I was putting this together.
Doesn't JetX do that often, though?
Yeah, but most times it's silent, like this time. Last time was when they changed the 33,000 defense XP to 3,000 from that one quest, because the peers were complaining.
Oh, yeah, I still didn't do that.
Yeah, more of my agility and construction experience.
Yeah, I know. They should give out like a lamp and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Agility
XP is
hard to come by, and so is construction XP.
It's probably too late now. Like, they should have done that when they changed it.
Exactly. Like, God. Anyways, 43 firemaking priest in Peril. Warren, did you do this quest?
The priest in Peril?
No, all fired up.
No, I don't do new quests.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I had some strong urge to call you Brad for a second. I don't know why. But anyways, rate the quest, Mike? Just the quest, not the minigame.
Oh, just the quest.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say one. Okay. One out of five. Because it's too short, and the storyline isn't really original at all. It's like copied from, I don't know. Like, Lord of the Rings did something like that.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah, so in that case, I'll give it a 2. Because, well, as you said, it was too short, and it's not the same kind of depth that quests ought to, Yeah.
I'd rather they worked on finishing storylines we already have rather than
opening
just adding
new ones.
Well, this isn't really a new one. It's just like, I don't know. It's kind of a continuation of the Mortania ones, but it's like too short and it doesn't really add anything to it.
It's a preparation for World War III. The beacons are symbolic of the U.S. missile shield. The U.S. is... And Verrock and Company and Mauritania is the Russians. going to invade if the missile shield gets placed on their land.
No.
Okay. So, anyways, aside from that, this quest is fairly short, as you mentioned. You basically go to, what's that place called, that one guy?
Which one?
Up on by, the...
By Caniphus?
Yeah, what's that? The Paterdomus, I think? Yeah, something like that. You go and light his beacon, and then have him watch over it by bringing him logs. Now, remember it was going... It was 45 logs that was originally needed, and I had to make a few runs back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to run back and forth. You need about 45 logs of any type, because first off, you got to light the one beacon, then pay him to watch it, then go light the second beacon and come back, and then finally go back, report to the king, and there you go, quest finished. But as we've said, that it's not really what happens during the quest, it's what happens after the quest with the minigame. So, you want to talk about, give us a bit of a description on what you do with the minigame?
Well, basically the minigame is to just try and get as many beacons lit simultaneously as you can. Yeah. So,
and then you get the various rewards for three of them, or no, it's six of them. You get the Ring of Fire, which has rather interesting examine info. It burns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love how they do that kind of stuff. And then for 10 of them, you get the Flame Gloves. And at 14, you get the Inferno Adds. Adds, is that how you'd say that? A-D-Z-E?
I wouldn't know.
Warren?
No idea.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know why. But anyways, the Ring of Fire gives you plus 2%, and the Flame Gloves give you plus 2% as well. In conjunction, they give you 5% extra fire-making XP, which is good.
I think it's worth it to do the mini game. Just, I don't like the mini game. It's like, there's a cat watching over one of the beacons.
I saw like, that.
How's a cat watch over it?
Cats don't even have thumbs. They can't put the logs in.
And not to mention, a log is bigger than a cat, so...
Oh, yeah. Can your guys' cats lift logs up?
No.
No, he can't.
And another problem I have is that you have to do little tasks for the people before they'll watch over it for you. Like, you have to bring them... Like, that gnome guy wants one of those Kebbit hats.
Yeah.
Like, it's their job to watch over them, so why do you have to bring them stuff for them to watch over it?
Yeah, and then what's the other odd one? The white fruit and the lava eel. Oh, that one was annoying.
Oh, I had to make the thing again. So I had to go kill a snake. Not a snake, a snail. And then make the oil, put it on a fishing rod, then go fish the lava eel. That was pretty annoying.
Yeah. Oh. And I don't know, which did you get, the flame gloves or just the ring?
I got the flame gloves.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to do it all because I have 92 fire making, but that didn't work out. I had a tiny mishap, as I was telling you guys before the show. First mishap was that a reverend got me up on the ice plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And then second mishap was on the one at Trollheim where it's cold. I forgot a super stat restore potion, so I wasn't able to light the beacon in time. But at the end of the day, I just said screw it. Because I already have 92 fire making, and I have 99 wood cutting as well, so I don't need that adds thingamajig or inferno, whatever add is, or however the hell you want to call it.
Oh, yeah, if you have a dragon axe and rune peck axe, why do you need that?
Yeah.
Well, except it will light your logs on fire as you're chopping.
It's about a 25% chance of combusting a log, and you get both the fire making and XP and woodcutting XP for it.
So that'd be useful for training fire making while woodcutting.
Exactly. Also, I want to draw you guys' attention to a RuneWire post. It's post 16986 by Southrend, or go to runewire.com/Southrend. It's his top post. Shane 1288, servant of the unknown power, perished in this place. And the thing says, I'm selling Shane's bones for $30K.
I'm sure someone will buy them.
Yeah, so if you talk to Southrend if you're interested in buying my bones. Remember once you died and I picked up your bones and I gave them back to you?
Oh, yeah. When was that?
I don't know. A long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyways, rating on the minigame?
Minigame?
Yeah.
Well, the rewards are good, but the actual gameplay of the minigame, I'd rate that a 1 out of 5.
Okay.
There's no reason to do it other than the rewards.
Exactly. Oh, and it's not very viable for training fire making. Lighting beacons, I don't think.
Well, yeah, just getting the 2 bonus items is good, but yeah, training with it isn't.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 3. And Warren didn't do it, so he's not going to rate it, I don't think. Unless his cat was the one that was holding the logs, I don't know, maybe?
No, he my cat tells me to rate 0 out of 10.
Oh, we rate out of 5, actually.
Well, it just sounds worse out of 10.
Meow, meow, 0,
what?
Meow.
Okay, Shane.
RuneScape in the Guinness World Records. RuneScape has entered the record books this week. The game has been recognized as the most popular free MMORPG game in the world for the second year in a row with a certificate awarded by Guinness World Records. That's one that Usain Bolt didn't manage to get. And the presentation took place at the Leipzig Games Conference in Germany. Is that a record to be proud of?
I guess so.
No, I don't think so. A bunch of 10-year-olds who play your game.
Well, it's still popular, but how many other free MMORPGs are there?
That are popular and get weekly updates? Yeah. Not that many.
And you don't really make any money from it either.
Yeah.
Well, they must make some money off the ads.
Yeah.
I saw in an interview they said they just barely made enough to pay for the servers from the ads.
Oh, that's actually okay, I guess.
Well, if they're making it back, that's okay, because a lot of people subscribe for members.
Yeah, and then they get more money. And as Brad would say, Andrew Gower gets another Porsche.
Yeah, they should buy more customer support team with that money, I think.
Oh,
so my appeal wouldn't be deferred.
Yeah, they just keep removing customer support.
And forums. The Rance forum became the game feedback forum with a half and half smiley face. Half the face is a smile and half the face is a frown.
Did they really remove Rance?
Yeah, they did.
Well,
now it's just basically a rants forum, even though compliments are supposed to go in there as well.
Well, I think there'll be a larger ratio of rants.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like 90 to 1. But, anyways, the JAGX store official launch. Anybody getting wireless mouse or a mug?
I don't think so.
No. Those mice did look pretty nice, though.
Hey, that rhymes. Those mice look pretty nice.
Wireless mouses. I the wired ones more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. This thing looks like a Mighty Mouse. Almost.
Which sucks.
Yeah. But $12.99 for a mouse? I don't know. That's a little cheap.
Is that 12 euros or 12 Canadian?
Pounds. That's a heavy mouse. If I do say so myself. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. A mug? I don't know if I'd wear a hoodie or a shirt or something in public, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't.
Maybe it's a nightshirt.
I'd like an RSBNB hat, though.
No, why?
I need a new hat.
I wouldn't wear something like that in public.
Also, they don't have my farming character.
Your farming character?
Yeah, you can enter your username and password, and ideally, and it'll grab your player model and generate like a plushie kind of character that you can buy.
Really?
No, no, they don't have that, but that's what I'd want.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be really expensive, I think, yeah. If they did something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Brad thinks that's a good idea because I can take him on farming runs IRL, he said once. But that's what I'd buy. I don't know. I have enough mugs and mouse pads, and I wonder how much this stuff they'll actually sell.
Well, I don't know. The products do look okay, but I wouldn't buy any of them.
Yeah, and that mouse looks really cheap, actually. But that's just my view. Oh, yeah, because it looks like they stick, like, something inside the plastic thing. And then, I don't know, it looks simple. But anyway, JX Store, Postbag from the Hedge. Anybody read this today?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Apparently,
I didn't even notice it.
My Postbag from the Hedge link in the notes goes to the game feedback forum. Oops. So anyways, yes, new Postbag from the Hedge is out. I really don't have any favorites this month. Do you guys?
I didn't notice it either.
Okay. So I will have the link in the notes so you guys can read this.
Anyways. Is it the Postbag of Hedge of Evil?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to read this one then.
Okay. Yeah, and it goes to the game feedback forum, but I'll fix that later. So, that's that. On to questions. We got 5 audio questions this week. Good job, people. Good job. First one is from somebody by the name of Kevin.
Hello, Shane and whoever else is doing the podcast. This is my question. Why, when I play RuneScape in full screen mode, it always slows down my computer, and I always have a lot of lag on RuneScape. But when I play in a smaller version, I do not have as much as lag, and it's much easier to play RuneScape. Thanks, your show rocks.
I think this is a fairly simple question. Mike, you want to take this one?
Well, he probably doesn't have a good enough graphics card.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's probably the main issue. Upgrade your graphics card.
Yeah, and if you're on a laptop, there's really not much you can do, sadly. Unless you want to have the whole motherboard replaced, but that can be very expensive.
Hey, you'd be better off just buying a new one.
Exactly. I know on my computer, the MacBook Pro, if I have both screens running and my RS window is about 1100 by 800 or so, my fans speed up and it really starts to lag. So, yeah. How does full screen work for you guys at almost full screen size, like size of like 1100 by 800 or so?
It's fine. Just the Grand Exchange is a bit laggy.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah, it works fine except for the party room.
Oh, yeah, like, right.
Oh yeah, that my applet kept freezing.
Oh, that thing!
Like when the balloons drop, the whole thing like freezes.
You know what happens when the balloon drops on mine?
What?
It sounds like bombs are going off, like poof, 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 poof. And last time it took down Camino. It crashed the entire browser. No, it's like big static noises. It's not like a pop noise. It's like static. I'll show you next time I'm at your place or you're here. I'll go to the drop party and I'll show you what it does.
Right. I have that too. I was trying to turn off the sound frantically.
Oh, did it take down the browser for you?
Sometimes it does.
Whenever I go there, I always have to turn down my graphics quality in the options. I think one thing they should really do is not allow familiars in there.
Oh, yeah. That's so annoying when they go in there.
And mouse toys. Someone, like, let off a bunch of mouse toys last time.
Oh. Yeah, so it's your graphics card. So we had a recommendation about 2 weeks ago as to what graphics cards to get, so go listen to episode 164, 165 or something around there. We had a recommendation on that. Thank you. Next one is from Alex, otherwise known as the Kiwi on Xbox Live.
Shane and the unnamed group of rebels, what is your opinion on turbo or modded controllers being used on Xbox Live in games such as Call of Duty 4? Keep up the good work with the podcast.
Mike, you want to go first?
All right. I don't think that should be allowed. Like, it's making you fire faster than what it's designed for. But, like, the game programming should take that into account, not, like, I don't know.
Not the
like,
hardware?
The game shouldn't let you fire that fast, even if you can press the button that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be programmed in to stop that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Warren?
Well, I don't really know what it is, but I heard it's very cheap, so I don't like it.
Okay. You know, do a different mod. There's a better mod for your controller called the Shock Troller, which basically converts the rumble pads into an electric shock device, so if you get hit, you'll feel a shock.
Why would you want that, though?
Because it makes the game feel more real, you know? Makes you feel pain, actually, instead of just being shook around.
Yeah, but that only really works for, like, I don't know.
I think that would be a better mod to do. I'll put a link in the notes to it. You just have to make sure you know what you're doing, because otherwise you can kill yourself with this, because you are dealing with electricity, and if you tone up the amperage too much, that would be not good for your cells, because you would get zapped. But no, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think you should even be suggesting it.
No, they made one safe before on the screensavers. Ages ago. And it actually shocked instead of rumbled, without hurting you.
I wouldn't use it.
Or if you want to
do... Would you use one?
Yeah, sure. Make one and I'll use it.
Okay.
Another idea I had for a mod is, why not take your 360 and put it into some other case? Like, put it into, like a space shuttle type case or a computer case, you know?
But then when it breaks, you can't send it in.
Oh, well. Just buy another one.
That's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but it would be a nice mod to see in the end. Or another one I have in mind is a fish tank Xbox 360, where you make the case for an Xbox 360 into like a fish tank, and you actually have fish swimming around in it. Somebody made a fish tank PC before. That's where I got the idea.
That would be pretty cool, except dangerous for the fish, maybe.
Yeah, so, fish tank 360 or shock troller. That's my recommendations. They're a bit extreme, but I think those are much more honest and fair mods than a turbo controller mod. Thank you. Next one is from Kirby.
Hey Shane and Unidentified Rebels. My question is, why do you think the article of the week has missed several weeks and having the last article about the HD FAQ? My answer to that is because they want the noobs to understand it and newcomers also. And also, Shane, when will you change the favicon to blue? Or at least for the pages that have been updated. Thanks, guys. Kirby.
Article of the weeks. He's got a good point about it rarely being changed and how it becomes article of the month with the HD graphics thing. You know?
It's just like the item of the week. In the
That was the Bob shirt for like 2 months.
Yeah, they're too lazy to change it.
Yesterday, last week, it updated to a compost potion, and this week it's a rune warhammer.
Oh, they should just make those random if they aren't going to update it.
Oh, it's orange dye this week.
I think it must just be random now.
Yeah, hopefully. But article of the week, Champions Challenge. That has to be random. Remember we were talking
about
that?
Well, they had to make an image for it there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Remember we were talking about that the night before and then it becomes article of the week?
Well, no, I was talking about it because it was article of the week.
Oh. I thought we were talking about it before, but okay. And I thought they would be like listening to our conversations or something.
No. Okay. But have you ever gotten one of those challenge scrolls?
No.
Have you, Warren?
No, but I kill an imp every time I see one trying to get one.
Yeah, but same with me.
Yeah,
never gotten one.
I kick them, you know?
Yeah.
And they just drop beads or bread.
I wonder what the reward is for finishing all of them.
I don't know.
Like, has anyone finished all of them yet?
Yeah, there's been a few. I know Nova Life has. There's something on his website about it.
I don't know.
Did he say what the reward was?
Maybe. I'll have to go check.
Yeah, we'll do that and put it in the notes. But you have to kill something from, like, a goblin, an imp, a skeleton, zombie, hobgoblin, etc., and you have to get one from each, right?
Yeah, how it is.
My sister actually got one from an imp, but she's too low level to do it, because you have to fight, I think it's a greater demon with no weapons or something, and no prayer. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the RuneScape wiki, and there's nothing about rewards on it. So I don't know. I don't know what the reward is, but it'd be interesting to know.
Maybe it's just like an extra bonus of Slayer XP, because you get Slayer XP for killing each one, don't you?
Oh, yeah, right. Hope, maybe. But it's kind of a letdown then, don't you think?
It's probably not, like, the reward probably isn't even that great.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Anyways, back to Article of the Week. random? Hopefully. I hope.
I don't know. Maybe.
But Orange Dye. I think they chose Orange Dye this week because it's something that's in the... was in the news item how they've tweaked the prices so that people who collect orange dyes can actually make a profit now.
All right, that's a good point.
Yeah, so that could be why that happened.
120 now.
Oh. Yeah. Anyways, thank you, Kirby. Oh, and as for the icon, when are we going to change some of those?
I don't know. When we get a new site design?
Yeah, something like that. Probably. So... it's not that big of an issue right now, but thanks you for telling us.
Yeah.
If someone wants to make a forum skin, can you use Pro Silver? Because I like Pro Silver, not the other one.
Oh, you like the new one?
Yeah, I like the Pro Silver layout, but not the design.
I see.
The only thing I don't like about it is how the user details are on the right instead of the left.
Yeah,
but
change that if you're
going to
make one, please.
Just
make a new theme.
Why don't you make one?
Warren, you make us a theme.
I was trying to make buttons in Photoshop, and every time I made one that looked good, it didn't look good on a black background.
Oh. Well, make the background black in Photoshop, then.
So I gave up.
That's interesting. Anyways, thank you, Kirby. Moving on, next one is from Jamie. Notice how these three have ended in E so far? I like that.
Except for Kevin.
Yeah.
And Alex.
Yeah. But so. Kiwi, you know?
Okay.
Hello, Shane and other hosts, and here's my question. What would you do if a random person in real life came up, gave you a hug, said they were the biggest fan of the update, and proclaimed you their new hero? Keep up the good work on the show. Cheers, Jamie or Blooper Singer on the forums.
So what would you do, Shane?
I would probably just walk away.
You just walk away? How mean?
I don't know who they are.
What if they told you who they are?
Well, if they're a known forum member, I wouldn't walk away. They're some random person. If they didn't say that why they did that, I would walk away. But if they said something about the show, I wouldn't just walk away. I'd actually tell them, thank you for listening and stuff, and maybe give them a signed copy of something, you know? I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I'd do. What about you guys?
Warren?
Well, I'd have a weird look. I might thank them. I don't know.
What if some of the fan club members came to you in real life?
I'd slap them. I don't know.
Oh, Okay. So, stay out of Ottawa if you listen to the show.
Yeah, don't beef me.
Mike?
About how they found me, because they don't know what I look like.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, how would they know it was us? That's a good point. So. Oh, interesting question, Jamie. Thank you. I just don't think that chances of that happening have to be pretty low. I'd say less than 0.1%, maybe.
So one out of every 1,000 people you meet?
Maybe.
Will come and hug you?
Maybe less than that then. I don't know. Are we done with that one?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Jamie.
Moving on, last question is from Chief E, which is rather interesting.
Hello, Shane and Band of Rebels. I have one question for you today, so listen carefully because I'm only going to say it once. Who would you turn gay for? And that's right, Shane, you're not excused from answering this. I personally would turn for Leonardo DiCaprio in a heartbeat after seeing his moving performance of Romeo and Juliet. Thanks, that'll be all.
Interesting question.
And just to clarify, he sent a note along with it stating that he's not gay in any way. Yeah, that was like in the email that it came in. So, I don't think we can truthfully answer this, you know? Because it would be, I just think that it would be kind of stupid to put thought into something like this unless Warren or somebody has an idea already.
It's not something I ever think of.
Yeah, it's safe to say that's the same for me too. Mike, I'm assuming it's the same for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn gay for someone.
Yeah, neither will I, and I can't condone that sort of action. I can't. So,
I think Shane would commit suicide if that happened.
I just don't think that. Well, I don't know. Sorry, but we really can't say much about this here. But it's an interesting question, and I really don't think we're gonna get anything out of Warren or Mike or me, for that matter, on this one. Unfortunately. So you'll be a bit upset about that, but I'm sure the rest of the people would have ideas. So, I don't know. That's the end of the audio questions. Thank you, everybody, for sending in audio questions. Remember, audio questions get priority, so that means we only have about 5 or so regular questions, text questions, to read off. Warren, you want to take the first one?
Sure. Dear Shane and Rebels, if you could be a superhero, which one would you be? If none fit you, which superhero would you make, and what would their powers be? I would want to be Superman because he's stronger and more powerful than the other superheroes, in my opinion. Thanks, Flash. And I think I would just make a superhero based off a celebrity, a Ringo Starr, so I could drum away all the crime and I could be like on a quest to remove the sacrificial ring from my finger while escaping the bad guys trying to paint me red and to be sacrificed and stuff.
Really? I've never heard of drumming away your troubles before. Where does that come from?
I don't know. He's a drummer for the Beatles.
I see. Interesting, Warren. Interesting
That's
idea.
That's funny, Warren.
Good job. Mike?
Well, Superman is the one that has the powers, although the stories are pretty lame because he has so many powers. But, like him or Professor X.
Who's that?
Professor X is a... Well, you'd like him because he's played by that guy who plays Picard in the X-Men movies.
Oh!
But he has, like, telekinesis powers. And he can manipulate minds, too.
Really? Interesting. Didn't he die? In the movie or something? The guy?
I don't remember. I'm not really... Like, I don't read many comic books, so...
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't know.
Also, for me, it'd just be somebody who looks like unassuming, who looks like a normal person, you know? But it really, in the end, can manipulate time, walk through walls, stop time, telekinesis powers, you know? Teleportation, all the good stuff, you know? Like, walk through walls.
I guess time rooms would be your weapon.
Yeah, exactly, you know? So, that's the kind of thing I'd have, just something that looks underassuming. Interesting question, Flash. Thank you. Hey, Shane, I was at a baseball game last night and I bought a team card set. When I opened it up, I found a new baseball team that we have is from Ottawa. I spelled the name wrong. O-T-T-O-W-A. Warren, that's not how you spell it, I don't think, right?
No, it got me curious.
Just give him a break.
Have you ever been to a AAA baseball game for the Ottawa team before? If so, what did you think of them? If you can tell it's the same team, because they lost a lot up there. By the way, they're now the Lay Valley Iron Pigs, so you can't remember them. Look up to find out if they're the same team from Joe Kid 67. Huh. I'm really not that much for
baseball.
I don't
think Shane has.
Yeah, I'm not
but
much. But
I have been to one.
When?
I've gone a few times. I remember my dad taking me before grade 1 once, and then during summer camp, I went in around grade 3. I don't remember what I thought of them since I was so young, but I do remember there was a guy a few seats down who was hit by a stray ball.
Really? Did he live?
I actually looked up this. I think so. He was carried out, though. I actually looked up this because I found out they were from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I mean, they were moved there at the beginning of the 2008 season. I didn't even know that. I don't think anyone else did, because that's how much Ottawa cared about them. the Canadian-American League placed a team in Ottawa called the Ottawa Rapids for the 2008 season. I was wondering who they were, because they were showing up in the newspapers, and I didn't know what they were. So I guess that's what they are.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that baseball really doesn't fly that much up here. Like, the baseball doesn't fly, pardon the pun, but up in Canada, if you know what I mean. Because we had a baseball team before here in Edmonton, the Trappers, I think, and they're gone now, too. I think the only real contender left is the Blue Jays in Toronto. Are they still around?
Yeah, I went to a game a few years ago.
Okay, so... Yeah, there you go, Joe Kid. Warren answered your question. Next one for Mike.
Don't know if this is the right place for this, but how might I increase the size of a partition in Linux? And that's from Skate Ilkey. Ilkley. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd want to do this, like, not while you're in Linux. You'd want to probably use a live CD from a popular distribution.
Ubuntu.
And there's a few. Yeah, Ubuntu would probably be the easiest. And there's Gparted on it. And just use that and you can resize it easily and it should work. But yeah. Whenever you resize partitions, you should always back up everything in case something goes wrong.
Like it corrupts.
But most of the time it should just work.
Like in case it corrupts a partition table or something?
Oh, yeah. That happened to me once before, but it hasn't happened lately when I've had three size partitions.
Yeah. Also, there's something called there's actually a CD you can get called the Gparted Live CD, which is actually just Gparted on it. So it's gparted.sourceforge.net/livecd.php. So that's if you don't want to go with the whole downloading an Ubuntu thing. But yes, always back up your data before messing around with partitions. That's something that's a good idea.
But most of the time, you'll just be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some things that are harder to do than others, like moving our partition is harder than deleting or adding a new one, you know? But sometimes you're deleting. Move one or whatever.
Well, delete is the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
Resizing, if you're just resizing it bigger, it will probably be really fast.
Moving it,
that's really slow because it, yeah.
Has to move all the data. Thank you.
So, yeah.
It's a nice question. Dear Shane and Rebels, where is everyone at in terms of school? If you're in high school, are the equivalent of what class are you planning on taking? If college, what do you plan on accomplishing and or what have you already accomplished? Schools started for this district in Nebraska last Wednesday and taking all honors core classes, English, social studies, science, and math, then piling on Spanish programming, NJROTC, something, I don't know what that is. Doesn't make it as easy as junior in school, but then again, it's not supposed to be easy, is it? So over the past 5 days, I've had about 5 hours of homework total. Can't wait to take the SAT or ACT and just get it over with. That's from the Xbox Legacy. Wow. So Warren, you want to go first?
Well, I start grade 11 on September 2nd. The courses I have, this is listed in priority of the way they assigned it. So English, functions, which is math, world history to the 16th century, understanding Canadian law, chemistry, physics, visual arts, information, and community technology. I didn't really want to take chemistry, but I just threw it in because there's nothing else I wanted either.
You know, chemistry is important, isn't it? Chemistry is important.
Well,
sort of. But it's not as important as physics.
Depending on what you're going to take after.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you're going to be a chemical engineer, then you need chemistry. But if you're going to be a nuclear bomb designer, you have to take physics. But, anyways.
Well, I don't think I'm going to do anything with chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, most colleges, you need at least two sciences, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you?
Yeah, or calculus, I know. So, you know, there's a quote that I like, all science is either physics or stamp collecting. What do you guys
think?
That's
a stupid quote. Why do you always repeat that?
Because it's true.
Stamp collecting?
Because without physics, there'd be nothing, and stamp collecting is easy.
All right, but stamp collecting isn't a science.
Exactly. Oh,
so it shouldn't be on the quote.
No, it means that the only true science is physics, but the rest aren't sciences.
I know, but it's still a stupid quote.
It's funny.
You can't deny that.
No, it's funny, though. It's stupid.
It's not.
Funny. It is, Warren, right?
I agree with Mike.
Oh. Okay, you want to go next, then?
All right. I'm currently taking a year off school.
Okay.
I can't take another year right now.
Okay.
Just so tired of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just, gets so...
But I've...
After 20 years of doing it, just gets so annoying, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I have completed my second year of Bachelor of Science... But, I don't know, I just don't feel like I'm really learning anything. It's like, I don't know.
It's the same.
I'll decide after this year what I'm going to do with school.
You would have been better off going to some form of a technical school or something, you know?
Yeah, it's not specialized enough in what I want to do.
It
feels like I'm just doing it for a stupid piece of paper. Like, I don't know.
It's theory.
I'll probably still end up finishing it. But it doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Anyways, on that drumbeat, I am going into my fourth year out of five, so I should be getting finished in what would that be, 2010, I think? Yeah, something around there, so end up finishing there. Science, computer science, economics, so yeah, take your pick there. And if you really are that interested in what it's all about, send me a private message and I'll run down some of the things that I've learned over the past few years that you really wonder if you're going to need to know how to do later on. But that was from Xbox Legacy. You know, that's weird. He doesn't have an Xbox, you know? And he doesn't play it, and he's not in
he doesn't?
No, he doesn't come to our events. That's weird.
Well, maybe he does have an Xbox. He just doesn't want to join.
Maybe. Anyways, last one. Somebody? Warren. I think Warren can take
okay,
it. It sounds like he's falling asleep.
Okay.
Alright. What program do you use for taking screenshots and video of RuneScape? My second is, do any of you play Dungeons & Dragons? If so, what is your favorite race and class to play? One of the ones I really want to try out with the release of the 4th edition is a Typhlene Warlock. Thanks, love the show, and keep them coming. Get this. For screenshots, I just use the Shift-Command-3, which on Mac saves a picture, this big picture to your desktop. And then I go into preview and just crop it there. And video, I use iShowYou.
Good. That's good. That's very good. For me, instead of taking the full screen, I wrote my own screenshot shell script, which uses the same built-in screenshot mechanisms, except it saves it to a screenshots folder, and if I press another button, it'll upload it to the server. So that's what I do for screenshots. And as for video, I also use iShowYou with the right codec. Right, Warren?
Yeah, the right codec.
Because me and Warren have been using that program for a long time, and at the start we're both using H.264, right, which compresses it on the fly. But later I found Apple Animation, which doesn't do compression, therefore takes load off the CPU, but the file size is bigger and it gives better quality. So that's that. And
then you
Mike,
just compress it after?
Yeah, compress it after, bring it into iMovie, shrink it down, and then it comes out after. Like,
I think we're getting some lag on the...
Yeah, I think so too, actually, for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Because whenever I start talking, like, I don't hear a response for, like, 5 seconds.
It's weird.
But, oh well.
Oh well. Just to give you an idea, like...
For screenshots? Okay, yeah, we're still getting the lag then.
Huh. I'll just finish up quickly, then I'll restart the car.
Yeah, like...
Just to give you an idea, that like a 3-minute video is 250 megabytes on that. Okay, Mike, finish your screenshot thing, then we'll restart the call.
Oh, I use I use Linux, so I wrote a small script for taking screenshots that uses Image Magic. And videos... There's this program called Record My Desktop for Linux that I use.
Interesting. And I assume Image Magic does it automagically?
Yes. That's a stupid word.
Oh.
Automagically?
Yeah.
Automatically.
Wait, was he asking for recommendations, or was he just asking us for what we use?
It says, what program do you use? So he's asking what we use.
Okay.
But if I was to recommend something for Windows, I'd recommend HoverSnap.
Oh, yeah, right, that one. Another good one is Gadwin Print Screen. And for video, Camtasia, that's the best way to go. Anyway, so do any of us play Dungeons & Dragons?
No, I don't.
I've never played it, and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's the same for me,
I thought it was a... I didn't even know they were still updating it and stuff.
I thought it was just a board game.
I thought it was a computer game.
He says there's
going to
be a 4th edition.
Wow. So, none of us play Dungeons & Dragons, and I don't think we would know how to play it. Anyways, thank you, Getness. Anyways, on to tech news. Amazon may be trying to enter the college textbook market with the Amazon Kindle, a new version of it. The student textbook market will soon welcome another newcomer to the market in the form of the revamped Amazon Kindle. If true, it will have to compete with a number...
Kindle.
Yeah, I know. I had trouble saying it. A number of other digital textbook options, but has the potential to win students' affection by changing the textbook market for the better. The college textbook market has been challenged lately by a number of digital initiatives, some of which being less legal than others. Savvy students who are getting sick of paying thousands of dollars for textbooks every year are beginning to scan them and put them on BitTorrent in droves. So far, publishers seem to be content with sending takedown notices to sites that catalog them instead of filing costing lawsuits. Still, even professors are outraged by the textbook market, and some are pursuing legal alternatives by offering open-source textbooks and posting materials on wikis, blogs, and other social websites. You know, this is a good idea, actually.
Hmm.
Because for one of my courses I had last year was an open textbook that was open source online.
Oh.
Yeah, so... they're too expensive, and I don't know. Like, ideally, the federal and provincial governments should be doing something to this, but apparently it's not been a priority in the past, but I don't know. But
well, it's stupid that they have to release a new version every year, like with just minor changes. They just like change stuff around a bit, the questions, and like that's not needed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just a money-making scheme, and the colleges are buying into it by using the new versions every year.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, just to think of all the amount of paper that's being wasted and stuff, you know, like. Really, thinking about it, has calculus changed since Newton first discovered it?
Well, yeah, but not significantly that we need a new textbook every year.
Yeah, exactly. So, aye. Anyway, so, that's that. But I think a Kindle textbook would be actually pretty good, because then really you're only paying for, like, the publisher costs or something, you know? And then... you just get everything all together, and you're not paying for the expensive nature of actually building a book.
Well, even building a book isn't that expensive. It's just the publisher's making lots of money.
Yeah, I think
with
that's
the Kindle,
actually
we'll be paying extra stuff to Amazon as well.
Yeah, that's a good.
It's a money-making scheme for Amazon.
Yeah. Anyways, so I think it's a good idea, but. You know, as had with always a middleman, there's always going to be a chance to make profit. And if I'm left, they could start gouging people like the current textbook markets do. I originally had three pieces of tech news, but I'm going to skip one and go right down to the third because of the lag issues. So, anyways, this is something called Ubiquity from Mozilla. It's basically... intuitive way to do things with your browser, aside from actually entering URLs into the browser bar. Have you guys watched the video on this?
Is it that one that they have, like, calling and stuff in it, and they show the graphs and stuff?
No, that's something else.
I don't know how to explain it.
That's a different kind of UI for the browser. This is something that's actually built in. It's sort of like those... what's the GNOME alternative to Quicksilver on Linux?
I forget. I don't use it.
Yeah, it's something like Quicksilver or those kind of things for Firefox. But they say it empowers users to control the web through language-based instructions. With search, users type what they want to find. And then with Ubiquity, they type what they want to do, for example. On-demand user-generated mashups with existing web APIs, in other words, allowing everyone, not just web developers, to remix the web so it fits their needs. Trust networks and social constructs to balance security with ease of extendability and extends the browser functionality easily. An example they gave was composing an email to somebody you want to go to lunch with. You just type email, then the person's name, it'll pop it up. Then you type a message. Then you select some text, and then with that you can automatically insert a map into your email, and then you could also get reviews on the service. So that's sort of the same kind of thing. It's gaming to streamline it to actually use these web services, so you don't actually have to go to the web service to do this, then paste it in manually, if you get where I'm going, you know? I don't know. I think it's a good idea, actually.
How will it be paid for? Like, most sites are paid for by ads right now.
Well, it's like, open source.
Well, we have to pay for these kind of services.
Well, it's going to
be
with...
Yeah, but...
Oh, you mean like the services itself?
Well, yeah, you're going to be using bandwidth doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
how are they going to make any money to pay for their bandwidth doing this?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because the ones they showed use like the Google API, the Craigslist API, Yelp, and whatnot. But those are big sites, so I get your point. How would a normal person go about paying for these bandwidth bills? They'd have to charge something, wouldn't they?
Yeah, if it used smaller sites, how would they pay for their bandwidth?
Yeah, that's a good point. Another thing that I thought of is, like, you know, some people, it's a good idea, but what about for the people that want a minimalist browser, you know? Like, if they bundled this into Firefox, I would have a problem with it, because I like Firefox being minimalistic. Mm-hmm. So, that if they start bundling, I might have to go to Safari.
Anyways. Oh, it already uses lots of resources with the extensions and everything.
Yeah, but they're just so damn useful, you know, like Delicious and Firebug and Web Developer and everything. But anyways, we're going off on a tangent here. So, I got a rant this week from...
And the lag is really annoying.
Yeah. A rant this week from...
Oh, sorry.
Newly named Game Feedback Forum. We'll just call it a rant, but because as we said before, it's like 9 to 1, 90% rants, 10% compliments, if that. So this rant is long. So do you guys want to do tag teaming on this?
Sure. Is Warren still here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Warren, take.
He fell asleep.
Yeah, he did during tech news. Hey, that's what Brad does every week. Take the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Take the first 6 paragraphs.
Okay. While this is a rant mainly about gameplay balance and the relationship between combat and skills, I may make mention to skills that collapse on themselves as well, such as Herblore. I'm sure most of you, being people that play video games, can appreciate tier lists of gameplay. For instance, in Super Smash Bros., games always have tier lists released by its fans for which character is better, and Jigglypuff continues to be a low-tier character. And popular first-person shooters always have weapon tier lists, with Sniper always rounding out top tier quite nicely. Unfortunately, RuneScape gameplay features are also tiered in this way, and the problem lies not in the fact that there is a low tier, middle tier, and high tier for items in the game, but what those tiers consist of. There used to be a time long, long ago, before whips, before barrows, before third age, and granite mauls and legs, where combat and skills were not individual aspects of the game, but two parts of the whole which would flow into each other with support and use. For instance, a player could mine ores, which would support the smithing skill. He would then create an armor with that skill. Runite back then was great, which would support his combat so that he could kill creatures, which dropped items that would support skills such as smithing and crafting. It was a circle of life, but instead of life, it was more of a hobby. In this way, all skills found use within the game and were valued. I think I'll use this paragraph I have in the notes I was talking for when I wrote this rant.
Okay. Mike, next four.
Okay. Produced items cost lower because experience and highly valued, and people will pay more money for what can get them experience. The problem with this, the thing that dooms most production skills, is that every single item in the skills affected are either items used primarily for skill grinding or items that are useless or have a low demand. Ideally, skills at a higher level would create items that fuel combat, which would in turn be used to kill monsters that drop items that would fuel skills. That isn't the case anymore. Skills are becoming increasingly the prevalence of combat in the method of obtaining useful and valuable items. Jagex seems to be afraid to allow skills to create great things like they once could, and allow only good items or any items of use to come from rare and random monster drops. In this case, skills don't feed combat, which feeds skills anymore. Combat has become its own energy source, which feeds itself, while skills only feed combat at lower levels or for poor people, hence lower tier. This system of a character's status dependency on luck ensures that anything created by skills will be lesser or lower tier, as the items that skills produce become less and less desired in favor of items that are created through luck. Skills become unprofitable and useless. A waste of memory for Jagex and time for players. This is the case for skills today. Most of them are unprofitable, and the ones that draw profit lose more ability as time progresses. Why would anyone train smithing when they can kill Armadil and get a god sword? Why would anyone craft when they can do barrows and obtain Carol set? Why would anyone cook when they can simply catch a fish and essentially trade it for the cooked one plus profit? Why would anyone make their own potions when they can sell the ingredients to buy, in some instances, two of the potion for one set of ingredients?
Hear, hear. As combat gains more and more prevalence in the game, the only way to obtain high-level items, high-level skills grow more and more unrewarding, uninspired, and unprofitable. JX has a duty to ensure a gameplay balance between the importance of combat and skills. Skills must evolve with combat, or this game will get more one-sided than it already is. The solution to the dwindling usefulness and profitability of skills is simple. Update skills so that at high levels you can use the skills to create items on par with what combat offers. In the case of skills that are unprofitable, not because combat has overshadowed it, but because raw materials are worth more, allow at high levels the creation of very useful items that people would place in high demand from untradeable raw materials. Before closing, I'd just like to mention the poster child for useless skills, smithing. Smithing's biggest problem is that at level 99 you make a level 40 item. To compare, at far low levels, at far lower combat levels, you can get level 70 items from barrows or any number of creatures, really. Smithing is unprofitable because people value the ores more. They give experience. To fix smithing has to be able to create items that are worth more than experience. People need to use their high smithing after they spend all their money on ores to get these. There are whole rants made specifically for smithing, so I'll summarize a decent solution to fix it. First off, move all requirements down into the mid-level territories, high 60s, low 70s, and then allow creation of a useful type of armor that competes with dragon and barrows that uses an ore to create that is untradeable. With the ore untradeable, high-level miners and smithers would be able to create armor with a high demand that would make smithing far more profitable and useful. What I'm trying to say is, let skills get high-level content instead of just lady luck.
This is a really good rant.
Excellent. I know. That's why I put it in and removed the other one I had in here, because, well, it sums up everything quite nicely. What incentive do people have to train skills anymore, except when the raw materials are so much more, or worth so much more than the actual finished items?
Yeah, you have to train combat to get money to train your other skills.
Exactly. Like it wasn't like this way back when, as he mentions, like when rune items were still... Remember when people had to actually buy rune from a person rather than... Because when there wasn't so much of it, like back when RS2 first came out?
Yeah. And now you get this junk from treasure trails.
Exactly, and that's polluting the economy with all this rune stuff. So, it's a good rant. But, I don't know, hopefully they'll fix this, you know? But, who knows? They might, because you know the guy who wrote this one? Go ahead.
Well, I get really frustrated when I see people who post like God Wars drops on RuneWire and stuff, because combat is in Slayer is really the only way money making is introduced into the game now, and it's annoying because I don't like combat.
Yeah, it's good, but hopefully they'll fix this, because the guy who wrote this is the same guy who had that sad mime topic because he couldn't wear his beret and mime mask. You guys remember that
one? Oh, yeah, his rants are good.
Yeah, so this is one of his.
It's funny.
Hopefully.
But it was like years before they fixed that, though.
I know. So.
And even still, it's only mime mask and beret. Like, there's other items that could be combined that you can't.
Yeah.
And that quest you had to do to be able to combine that black mask and nose peg and stuff.
That's stupid.
Like, you should just be able to wear it.
Yeah. And remember, after they fixed the mime thing, he edited his post to say that this guy is no longer a sad mime anymore. So, yeah. So, good rant, and hopefully JX hears about this one. So, maybe I'll put a link to this in the notes so we can get behind it. I'll see what I can do, but who knows. Anything else on this one?
Yeah.
Guess not. On to some other things. It's the end of the month, so that means it's time to vote in Sig of the Month. Right now, you can choose to vote for two people. One person has three signatures, so that person has a very high chance of winning Sig of the Month. So go cast your vote on the forums, forums.rsbnb.com. And we also got the Skill of the Month sign-up going for September. Thieving. Warren, you going to be entering that?
Yeah, I'm going to enter it, and I'm probably going to get banned on the second, just like last year's Scott Tim.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's... Hopefully that doesn't happen, you know? Because last year, the week before you got banned, you were also on the show as well.
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia and stuff. It's scary.
Oh, well. Hopefully that won't happen.
I don't think I'm going to be in clan chat on September 1st.
It's a good idea. Anyways, look at the cooking skill of the month. Total Plox is still winning by about 2.4 million XP. Second is KJTH, and then third is Flash, and they're both seem to be fighting for second place. Everybody else is practically stopped. So
well, anyone can win still. Like,
yeah, so there's still a lot of time.
So fast.
Yeah.
KJTH like could cakes, probably still catch him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else could, though. So, I don't know. Check it out. rsbnb.com/SKOTM. Remember, you do need to have a valid forum account and be an active forum user to compete. August events this weekend. I'll try and get this out so you guys have some warning. Jungle Run is on Saturday, which is an event that Ryan designed that he'll be running. That was his events crew application, so be there, Brimhaven Docks. And on Sunday, we'll be going to visit the Great Orb Project to see what we can do, if we can break the curse and perhaps let the green team win for once. Because, you know, green never
did
wins.
Did they do any updates to fix that yet?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything. If they were updated...
Was there any rants
updates
about it?
Not that I could see in the rants forum. It's just all the usual shit, you know? Mage hasn't had it updated in 3 years.
Yeah, because everyone I've talked to said yellow always wins. Like, I don't know how that always works. Every time I'm green, I lose. Every time I'm yellow, I win.
Yeah, so we'll be handling that. Should be known that the Great Orb Project is free to play. Also, events forum change. Previously, it had to be 7 days to post an event, and now it's a minimum of 2. So, you can post your events a little sooner than when they're actually going to happen.
Yeah, make some more events of your own.
Yeah. So, RuneWire will
help.
We could
use more community events.
Yeah, and basically, if you have an event, just post it. Nothing to be worried about. You'll get people to come, and it'll be a good time. So, anyways, all that and more at forums.
And it might increase your chances on being in the Vents crew in the future. So, if you want to be, post more.
Good idea, Warren. That's a good way of looking at it. I never thought of it that way. So what have we been doing? Warren, what have you been up to?
Just for RuneScape, just content crew stuff, but I've been playing World of Warcraft, only the trial that I might resubscribe later. I got to the max level and max money amount on the trial too, so.
What's the max level for the trial?
Only level 20.
Yeah, that's pretty fast in only 10 days.
That game was too complicated for me.
How is it complicated?
It's not.
I found it complicated. Anyway, so that's that. Mike, what have you been up to?
Just been working on coding for content crew stuff and upgrading the map.
Ooh. When will we be seeing some of these nice features for the map and stuff?
Probably not for a while.
Okay, so we won't go into any details as to what's happening on there then. But as for me, I've been working on RuneWire. What else? Doing a bit of fishing, hunting, trying to figure something out on RS. RuneWire's coming along good. There's an occasional setback, but it's coming good. So stay tuned for that. Anything else before we wrap this one up?
Oh yeah. Magic King once dared me. Said the next update, you go on. Say you're not a Mac fanboy. So, I'll say that now. I'm not a Mac fanboy. And it's not that I think Windows sucks. I just think I prefer Mac, and I think Mac is better.
I have to agree with
Vista
you there.
Vista isn't worth the price of buying because I already have Leopard, which does everything Vista does, well, most of what Vista does, and same and more and stuff. And the only reasons when I ask why should I switch is generally like they give a misconception like Mac has no right click or it has gaming, and if I wanted to be, I mean, it doesn't have gaming, and if I wanted to be a gamer, I buy an Xbox 360 or PS3, and I haven't yet, so that just shows you how much of a gamer I am. So.
Well said, Warren. Well said. You know, I agree with you there. Like, we're not Mac fanboys. We're not Mac fanboys.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm
Shane,
not.
Shane, you are.
Why?
Yeah.
Explain why.
I don't know. You just...
No.
You just like showing anything that has to do with Apple to me. Like, anything. You're always trying to get me a Switch? That's a Mac fanboy.
That's the same kind of thing with Star
No,
Trek.
No, you're a Mac fanboy because you try and get me a Switch.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're a Star Trek fanboy, too.
I'm not. I'm just putting it in that respect that I'm not, because there's people that are worse, you know? That I'm not going to mention their names, but there are people that are worse, so that's how I get away with saying I'm not. Like, I don't care
There's
what
operating
system
someone...
There's always
going to be people that are worse. That doesn't mean that you're not.
I'm not. Like, I'm not going to force somebody to, you know? I don't care what operating system people use. You could be using Windows 95 for all I care. But, yeah, I agree with what you said, Warren.
My stepdad has that on his computer.
Oh, who see? Does? There we go.
My stepdad, but he doesn't use it that often anymore.
Oh, that's pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can still play Duke Nukem 3D, so that's great.
That's good. Yeah. I don't know. Snow Leopard, maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure yet. Warren, what about you?
I'll probably get it.
Is it going to cost money? It is?
Yeah, probably.
Aren't Aren't they just updating it for 64-bit support?
No, there's a whole lot more stuff in there too, like stability-wise and shit. But it's not just 64-bit support. But I think this show was done a long time ago, so we should probably wrap this one up, don't you guys say?
Probably.
Yeah, so in that case, RSBNB update 167 is done. Brad will be back next week. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. How is it complicated? It's just a browser.
It's extra little features that you don't need to worry about, that it's hard to change stuff.
Like what?
It's that like advanced menu thing, you know? That whole advanced menu thing. The whole tree of menus and stuff.
Well, don't look at it then. It's for advanced users.
Yeah, but to make it like Firefox, I have to go in there. So... I don't know. I might.
Well, Firefox says about config.
Yeah, I know. Which you don't. Which
like
you don't
the layout.
Need to do.
The layout of the advanced menu is much better than about config.
Yeah, but you don't need to go into about config. But anyways, if you have Firefox 3, just type about robots. About colon robots. Do it.
Yeah. Well, we've seen it before.
Yeah, and if you're using that as a thing to promote Firefox, it's not that great.